2 Timothy chapter number 3. Let's begin reading in verse number 14. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. We're going to preach on this subject this morning. Take a new look at the old book. Take a new look at the old book. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that as a result of the message this morning, several things would happen. First of all, Lord, we want to always lift up Christ. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. Now, Lord, we're going to speak about the gospel. We're going to talk about salvation. And I would pray, Lord, that if someone's here that's never received Christ as their Savior, today would be the day that they are saved. They have that life-changing encounter with Jesus Christ. I pray also, Lord, that you would help us as Christians to take a new look at the old book. Lord, that we might not just get calloused and used to of the Bible, that we would realize what we hold in our hands each and every day. And I pray, Lord, that you would give us a spirit of revival concerning our relationship with the Word of God. We pray these things in Jesus' name. I pray, amen. We like at Blessed Old Baptist Church to sing choruses. We sing choruses a lot, not so much in our main services, but especially in the children's ministries, on the bus routes, as the children are being brought to church. I'd say one of the standard fares on every single bus route is that we spend some time singing some choruses. They do that in the children's churches. I'm reminded this morning, and I again said a quick word of prayer up here as I sent, praying for the three other services that are being conducted on the property while this service is going on. Let's not forget, folks, that we have a junior church, a children's church, and a primary church that is meeting, and that young people are hearing the Word of God preached to them on their level, even while we're here in the sanctuary. And but in those sessions, they'll sing, yes, some hymns, but they'll also sing some choruses. I like choruses about the Bible. There's nothing I think that's any more fun than standing up here during our Sunday school rally time. And for some of you that don't know, our just 7 or 8 minute Sunday school rally time is just an opportunity for me to interact with the young people a little bit, to sing some choruses with them. And of course, we always end by singing the B-I-B-L-E. And it's fun to watch the little children as they're brought from the nursery and even brought in holding them. And they can't talk yet, but they recognize the B-I-B-L-E, and they start learning some of the motions, and they get excited when that song is sung. And I'm excited that they're excited. You know, there's some wonderful choruses concerning the Word of God. The B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E Bible. There's also a song that we sing oft times in our school, also in our different children's ministries, Take a New Look at the Old Book. It goes like this. Take a new look at the old book. Take a new look at the Bible. Take a new look at the old book. Take a new look at God's Word. We need to read the Scriptures every day. Hide God's Word in our heart. Take a new look at the old book. Take a new look at God's Word. Please, no applause. No, I want God to get all the glory, amen? So no applause. Would you sing that with me this morning? Take a new look at the old book. Take a new look at the Bible. Take a new look at the old book. Take a new look at God's Word. We need to read the Scriptures every day. Hide God's Word in our heart. Take a new look at the old book. Take a new look at God's Word. You know what? Even us Christians that we might consider ourselves veteran Christians, whatever that means, even from time to time, we need to step back and take a new look at the old book. And so we're going to spend this morning just going through the scriptures that we read, and we want to talk to you a little bit about the Bible. Now, young people, let me say this. I believe that every person, every born-again Christian, ought to own a copy of God's Word for yourself. Every single one of you ought to have a copy of the Bible. You say, Brother Jerry, I don't have a Bible. If you're a bus rider, will you talk to your bus captain about that? And we'll see to it that we get you a Bible. But we will get you one on this premise. I don't want to hand you a Bible. It's way too valuable to hand to you if you're going to lose it or abuse it or just set it on a shelf at home and not use it. Amen? I mean, if you are gifted a Bible, you ought to treat it very preciously, very carefully. You ought to read it every day. You ought to carry it back and forth to church with you. And it ought to be one of your most valuable, if not your most valuable possession. And so, young people, let me say that you ought to have a Bible. If you don't have a Bible, you got a birthday coming up. You can say to your parents, Mom, Dad, and they say, what do you want for your birthday? You might surprise them and say, you know, they think you're going to ask for a toy or one of the new gadgets out there or one of the new electronic games. Mom, Dad, I'd like to have a King James Bible. Would you buy me a King James Bible? And that would be a wonderful thing. Maybe grandma's already, some of these organized grandmothers that do their Christmas shopping in October or September, or some of you in June and July. What's wrong with you? I don't understand people like this. Personally, I'm a December 27th guy myself, you know. Me and a handful of desperate men are wandering the mall with this panic look on our face, and they love to see us coming because they know we're so desperate we'll spend any amount of money just to get this thing done. And but some of you may tell grandma, you know, Christmas is coming up. I would like a Bible. A Bible is a very valuable possession. We live in a country where the Bible is a very common book. It's very easy to acquire a Bible. You can get one very cheaply. And there are countries of the world where a Bible would be the most valuable possession in the entire village. One Bible or one portion of the Bible, Bearing Precious Seed and ministries like that, print copies of John and Romans and put them in the native tongue of people around the world. And for many people that are handed that, they say that on the average, when you hand out in a third world country a copy of John and Romans, that it will be read by up to 9 different people, that one copy will be, because the Bible is so scarce. We're blessed in America, wouldn't you say so? Isn't it a wonderful thing that in America, long standing, year after year after year, the best selling book has always been the Bible. There's more Bibles that will be sold this year than any other book out there. And in America, even in our what Brother Williams calls our post-Christian era, even in our post-Christian era, the Bible's still the best-selling book in America. And I thank God for that. I just wish they were all the right version of the Bible that was being sold out there. Now let me just have you take a look at your Bible. We're going to take a new look at the old book. I want you to look at it as we look at the scriptures. I want you to look at it as it lays on your lap there before you. And I want God to give you a new vision, a fresh vision of the importance of the Bible in your life. I'm just going to point out several things about the old book. Number one, the old book is a book for children. The old book is a book for our children. Notice that it says in verse number 15, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Oh, I wish that could be said about every child in America. Oh, I wish that that was true about the children in America. Brother Jerry, do you understand? Do you have any knowledge of the crisis that we're facing amongst our young people in this country? Oh, I don't know if I have the complete depth of knowledge, but I will say this. I think I've got my finger on the pulse of it. I think I pay attention to it. I think I study it pretty carefully. Let me just say this, folks. We're in trouble in America. Our young people are in trouble in America. You say, Brother Jerry, where did all this start? It all started when we decided that our young people was going to be denied access to the Scriptures. There's very few children, just a small percentage of children, that we can look at and make this statement and it be true. where we can say, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. You know, that ought to be the heritage of every child in the United States of America. Every child ought to have as their heritage, growing up, being exposed to on a regular basis, the Word of God. You think about children that are in 5th grade, 6th grade, 10, 11, 12. You think of the teenagers in this area, in this small town rural area of America. You think about the ones that have had little contact. I'm talking about 14-year-olds, 15-year-olds, 16-year-olds, 17-year-olds that couldn't tell you two or three of the books of the Bible by name, aren't familiar with the basic Bible stories. They don't have a Bible in their home, and if they do, it just sits somewhere for decoration. They're never taken to Sunday school. They're never taken to church. They don't have a parent that reads the Bible to them or teaches the Bible to them. Folks, we are in trouble in America. Now, parents, let me challenge you and say this to you. The greatest thing that you can do for your children is see to it that from a child they know the Holy Scriptures. From a child they know the Holy Scriptures. Nursery workers, let me share this with you. I know there's a lot of things to do in the nursery. We won't talk about most of them. But I know that there's a lot of things that occupy your time in the nursery. Could I ask you to do something? Make sure that even in the nursery they know what it is to hear the Holy Scriptures. In our children's churches, let's make sure that they know what it is to hear the Holy Scriptures. In our school, let's integrate the Word of God into everything that we teach. Let's make sure that they know the Holy Scriptures. It ought to be the heritage of every single young person. Now, parent, listen to me. See to it that your children are raised so that they can say when they are old, from a child I knew the Holy Scriptures. Now that means getting them up and getting them to Sunday school. I'm just appalled. I mean this. I'm appalled. Shame, 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 shame on us in America. Shame on families all over this area that claim to believe in God and claim to be God-fearing, but they won't get up and take their children to Sunday school. We spend a lot of money and a lot of man hours on buses. I have no doubt that there's probably well over 100, up to 120 children that are being taught the Word of God right now. And the only reason they're hearing it today is because a church, a group of people, has sacrificed financially. We've been willing to buy the buses. We've been willing to pay the $3 and some odd cents a gallon for for the gasoline that we use to fuel the buses. But listen to me. There's 100 and some odd children in underneath the Word of God that wouldn't be taught the Word of God this morning if it wasn't for a church that got a vision about the idea that every child ought to have a right to come to church and listen to the Scriptures. But boy, we need a revival in the home. We need a revival in the home. Parents, I'm glad you have your kids here this morning, but you know what? Why don't you get them back here tonight? I'm glad if they come tonight, but you know what? There's Masters Clubs on Wednesday night, and they're going to get Bible training in the Masters Clubs. Let's decide that we're going to get our children in under the preaching of God's Word. Now, here's the typical testimony of most families. If you stop the average family on the street and you ask them about their children, they'll tell you their ages, they'll tell you their names, and say, well, what do you got them involved in? You know what? Word will come out of their mouth immediately. Well, they're all involved in sports. They're all involved in sports. And so they spend their entire week running their children to the different sports activities. Well, they've got practice in soccer, and then they've got basketball camp, and then they've got baseball practice, and they've got volleyball practice, and they've got softball practice, and then we've got the games, and we've got the schedules. And boy, the parents can find all the time in the world to turn their vehicle into a taxi, running their kids from event to event to event to event, but they can't on Sunday morning get the children in the van and bring them to the preaching of God's Word. Folks, nowhere in this book will you find a promise that if you involve your kids in sports, they're going to turn out right. They're going to do right. But I can show you promise after promise that tells us that if we expose them to the Word of God, it will not return void. It will accomplish that which God purposes it to accomplish. And listen to me, folks. We need to get our children, the children of our community, the children of our nation, back underneath the Holy Scripture. So number one, the old book is a book for our children. Number two, the old book is about salvation through Jesus Christ. The old book is about salvation through Jesus Christ. Now notice what it says here in verse 15. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And what's wonderful about the Bible is this. The central theme of the Bible, the central theme of the Bible is the redemption of man through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The central theme of the Bible is salvation. Salvation. You see, one of the benefits of exposing your young people to the Bible is that you expose them to the main theme of the Bible, which is salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. How many of you have ever heard of the famous orator and politician named Daniel Webster? You remember that? Well, folks, listen to me. The central theme of the Bible is Jesus Christ and salvation through Jesus Christ. Daniel Webster lived in New Hampshire during the summers. While there, he attended a small country church pastored by a simple country preacher. His niece once asked him, "Why do you spurn the larger city churches pastored by men of greater education and ability?" Listen to what he said. Daniel Webster's answer to his niece was astounding. "When I attend those churches, they preach to Daniel Webster, the statesman. When I attend here, that old country preacher preaches to Daniel Webster, the sinner. When I attend the city churches, I hear many topics unrelated to Scripture. When I attend this simple church, I hear only of Jesus Christ." Wow, isn't that powerful? Amen, folks, listen to me. There's a lot of little country churches that have held the line and stood for the right thing throughout the history of this country. Let me say this, folks. Grassroots, small, rural country churches have held this country together. They really have. Now listen, what we ought to hear when we come to the preaching of God's Word, we ought to hear a whole lot about Jesus Christ. We ought to hear a whole lot about salvation. We ought to hear a whole lot about the gospel. We ought to hear a whole lot about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We ought to hear about Jesus. You see, folks, Jesus is found in every book of the Bible, from Genesis to Revelations. This is a Christ-centered book. If you're lost, it can make you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Say, "Brother Jerry, why is there a Blessed Hope Baptist Church? Brother Jerry, why is there a pastor here named Jerry Ross? Why was he preceded by a pastor named Robert Ross?" It's because when we moved to Brazil, Indiana, we went to a little country church, a little white clapboard country church north of Brazil, Indiana, in northern Clay County. And there was a man that opened the Bible and preached Jesus Christ. He preached Jesus Christ. My daddy went there a lost man, but because of the faithful preaching of Jesus Christ and salvation, and you must be born again in the gospel, he came under conviction of sin and received Christ as his Savior. As a result of that preaching, my mama's heart was worked on and she received Christ as her Savior. Us children came under conviction and we accepted Christ as our Savior. Listen, it still works today. That's not something that just occurs back in 1966. It happens today. What's happened is we've gotten away from the central theme of the Bible, which is Jesus Christ, salvation through Jesus Christ. So let's just keep that the way it is here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Amen. Let's talk about Jesus. The King of Kings is He, the Lord of Lords, supreme through all eternity. The great I Am, the way, the truth, the light, the door. Let's talk about Jesus more and more. So the old book is a book for our children. The old book is a book about salvation through Jesus Christ. Let me give you this thought. The old book is a book that is God-breathed. God-breathed. Look, if you will, at verse number 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. I've had the great privilege in the last 2 weeks of opening up the first 2 weeks of our Bible class at Blessed Hope Baptist School by bringing all of our 7th through 12th graders in and just spending 2 weeks talking to them about the importance of their Bible. And one of the things that I spent some time teaching them was the idea, the doctrine of the inspiration of Scripture. Now, folks, I don't want to lose you here this morning. I'm not going to give you something deep. I'm not giving you something that you can't understand. But I want to give you something that's amazing. The Bible is inspired. What does that word inspired mean, Brother Jerry? The Bible says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That word inspiration means that it is God-breathed or delivered by the very breath of God. That means if you put your hand on this page here that you have open, the words that are on that page are God-breathed words. God breathed words. You see, the Bible claims to be inspired or God breathed. The Bible contains the very words of Almighty God. Matthew 4:4, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And one of the things the Bible always claims is that every word proceeded from the mouth of Almighty God. This is a God-breathed book. You say, wait a minute, Brother Jerry. I understood that the Bible was written by men. I understood that there were several men that wrote the Bible. I thought it was a man-written book. Let me say this, folks. Boy, I wish we had time to study it all out. You ought to read 2 Peter chapter number 1. You ought to understand what happened when the Bible was delivered. But the Bible says that the Holy Spirit delivered the Bible by using what the Scriptures call holy men of old. And it says that they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And by the way, that word moved means to be taken up, to be fully controlled, to be lifted up off from the earth. And so they were separated for a time from their earthliness. And they were dictated the words of God by God to pen down. Now, folks, a man may have written out the Bible, but God dictated to him every single word that was supposed to be written out. So I'm not reading here in 2 Timothy the words of Paul. I'm reading the words of God as penned down by the Apostle Paul. If we go over to 2 Peter and read that portion of Scripture, I'm not reading the words of Peter. I'm reading the words of God as penned down by the Apostle Peter. When I read the Pentateuch, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, I'm not reading the words of Moses. I'm reading the words of God as penned down by Moses. And folks, this is a miracle book, a God-breathed book. You see, it is written here for us by man, but these are the very words of God. Now let me give you a little statistic here. 39 chapters in the Old Testament, 27 chapters in the New Testament. Your Bible contains 39 books in the Old Testament, 27 books in the New Testament, 66 books in all. There's a total of 1,189 chapters in the Bible. Get this, 41,173 verses in the Bible. I like this. 774,746 words in the Bible. Why do you point this out? Every one of them is God-breathed, God-protected, God-preserved, and reliable to this generation. You see, this book was penned by men, but dictated by God. This book is not only collectively the Word of God, but also it is specifically the very words of God. And the reason I take time to point that out to you is tomorrow morning, you have an opportunity to set your alarm a few minutes earlier than you normally do. Make yourself a cup of coffee or whatever you drink to get you awake. Sit down in your recliner and open and read the very words of God.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Woo! Wow. I get to read this morning to you the very words of God. This morning in Sunday school, I read to our class the 32nd chapter of Genesis. I got to read the very words of God. Now, when you open this book, folks, we ought to open it with a new look at the old book. Listen, this isn't just some writings of some ancient men that no longer apply to us in this day and age. These are the very words of God. God-breathed words, protected words, preserved words to every generation so that we can open it up and say, what does God want me to know? So God gives us a book that is God-breathed. The old book is a God-breathed book. Are you looking at verse number 16? Let me give you another thought. Not only is the old book a book for our children, and the old book's about salvation through Jesus Christ, and the old book is God-breathed, but the old book is a book that is profitable. Profitable. I love that word in verse number 16. You'll hear, if you listen to me for any amount of time, you'll hear me quote this. You'll hear me talk about this a lot. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now let me just share this with you because I want to get this across to you. Time spent reading the Bible is profitable time.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Time spent reading the Bible is profitable time. Now, we'll spend a lot of time doing things that don't really profit us much at all. Matter of fact, we'll spend a lot of time doing some things that do the opposite of profiting us, that even damage us spiritually. But you will never read the Bible for 1 minute and ever point back to that minute as a wasted minute in your life. Because if you approach the Bible with a prayer on your lips and a hunger in your soul and asking God to teach you something, and you read the Bible, you're reading the very words of God, and you will profit from that. You see, time spent reading the Bible is profitable. I want to encourage you. I want to challenge you to read your Bibles. I want to ask you, congregation of Blessed Hope Baptist Church, read your Bible. Read your Bible every day. Let me give you a little statistic on this. It takes 70 hours and 40 minutes. 70 hours and 40 minutes to read the Bible through at pulpit rate. Now, what is pulpit rate? Pulpit rate is the rate or the cadence that I used when I read the Bible this morning. It's out loud at a steady, easy pace. If you stood up here and read at the same speed that I read this morning and started in Genesis and read all the way through and didn't take a break, it would take you 70 hours and 11 minutes to read through the Bible. You say, Brother Jerry, that's a long time. I don't think I have 70 hours and 11 minutes or 40 minutes, 70 hours and 40 minutes to spare this week. Now, let me give you an amazing statistic. You know, if you'll break this down and do the math, do you know how much time a day you'd have to spend reading the Bible to read your Bible through in 1 year? How much time would you have to read the Bible a day to read it through in 1 year? If you read your Bible, and I'm talking about at a slow speed, an out loud slow speed, if you read it for 11 minutes and 36 seconds a day, you would read the entire Bible through in a year. 11 minutes and 36 seconds a day. Can I just say something to us? Shame, shame, shame on us. One of these days we're going to stand before God and we are going to float this excuse. I don't think we will, but it's the one we use down here. Well, I just don't have time to read the Bible. 11 minutes and 36 seconds, you could read slowly out loud the words, the very words of God. And if you did it that much every day, you'd read through the Bible in a year. You know what? We're going to stand before God one of these days ashamed and without excuse for not being readers of the words of God. Are you getting this? You see, folks, time spent reading your Bible is profitable time. If you can sit there in the morning, young person, and shovel down your cereal, your Captain Crunch, Fruit Loops, Apple Jacks, if you can shovel your Cocoa Krispies in and sit there watching SpongeBob SquarePants. Is that his name, SpongeBob SquarePants? I usually say SquareBob SpongePants. I think there's something squishing when he's walking, but I'm not sure. So, and you can sit there and shovel that in and watch 30 minutes of that nonsense, and you can't find 11 minutes and 36 seconds to read the actual protected, God-breathed, inspired words of Almighty God. Now, what we need to do, folks, is stop making excuses. Just decide that we're going to take a new look at the old book.
Yes, sir.
We're going to get it off the shelf. We're going to dust it off. We're going to start at Genesis chapter 1. And we're going to say, with God's help, I'm not going to stop till a year from today. I have read through the Bible for the very first time. Maybe for the first time, you've never read through the Bible in a year. You ought to do it this year. You say, well, I'll wait till January. You'll forget by January. Hey, a year is a year. 365 days, 365 days. What's today's date? This is September 23rd. I'll tell you what, let's just start today if you haven't already been doing it. And by next September 23rd, you can read through the Bible. You can read through the Bible all the way through in a year. Now, folks, time spent reading the Bible is profitable. Time spent hearing the Bible preached is profitable. What you're doing in the time that you're investing right now, and by the way, this isn't just 1 hour of time. This is 1 hour times the number of people that are here. There's a lot of hours that are being invested in the listening of God's word. It's not just an hour off the clock. It's an hour out of your individual life. And let me say this. It's profitable for you to be here. It's right for you to be here. It's wise for you to invest the time listening to the Bible preached. It's profitable to read the Bible. It's also profitable to spend time listening to the Bible preached. You see, Satan knows this, and he's kept people from hearing the Bible preached in this generation like he's never done before in the United States of America. He's used two methods to keep people from hearing the Bible preached. Listen to me, and I'll give them to you real quick. Number one, he's kept the people out of the pew. He's helped got folks to decide that there's a lot more important, profitable things to do on a Sunday morning rather than go to church and hear the Bible preached. He's scammed them. He's lied to them. He's deceived them. Because when you show up to church, number one, you're obeying a direct command of the Word of God to not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. But also, you are listening to the preaching of God's Word. These inspired words are being preached and given to you with some understanding so that you can take them home and have your life changed by them. So number one, he's eliminated a lot of people from the pew. Now here's the sad part. Number two, he has taken the Bible from the pulpits. So a lot of folks don't come to hear the Bible preached, and a lot of people take the time and show up to a church, but the Bible is still not heard because it's not in the pulpit. So sometimes it's a result of the person not being in the pew, and sometimes it's not a result of the Bible not being in the pulpit. That's why Paul instructed through the inspiration of God, instructed the young preacher, preach the word. People need to hear the words of God. That's what they need to hear. Me and my wife, when we was getting ready to start a church in Brazil, Indiana, years and years ago, we moved down there about 3 months before we were actually going to start the church. And we decided, and I don't know if this was the right thing to do, wrong thing to do. We decided to do it, felt led of the Lord to take that time. And we did go to a good independent fundamental church at least once a week. But we decided we was going to go visit the churches in Brazil, Indiana, of all denominations, and walk in and just get a sense of what was happening in the churches. Can I give you a report? In the average church, this book is not in the pulpit. It's not in the pulpit. I could tell you many churches we walked into. We walk in dressed for church. We walk in with the King James Bible in our hand. We begin to look around. People be looking at us, staring at us. We thought it was because we were visitors. We found out later on it was because we carried a book into the church. Because we actually had our Bibles with us. There was church after church after church we went to, and not one person walked in the church carrying the Word of God with them. You know why? They didn't need it. There wasn't going to be a preacher stand up and say, open your Bibles. There wasn't going to be a preacher that even read the Bible. I can't tell you how many services we sat in that a man preached for 30 to 40 minutes and not one time even referenced the Word of God. That's incredible. We went to one church in particular and we listened to this man, and he preached for about 20 minutes. And he talked about how one morning that past week he'd taken a walk in one of the city parks, and he had noticed there was a little plaque on a little memorial, and he read the plaque and he read what it said to the people, and he talked about the wisdom of what it said. And by the way, it wasn't a Bible verse, it was just something some man had written. For 20 minutes he preached a message on a plaque that he read out in the city park. And I'm sitting here looking around, and I mean, folks, this church was as full as the one I'm sitting in today, or you're sitting in today. It had this many people. You know what? They went to church. They dedicated the time to go to church. But did they hear the Bible? Listen, folks, I'm going to say this to you. What is important when you come here is not for you to hear the words of Jerry Ross, but that you hear the words of God. Amen. Not that you hear my thoughts, but that you hear God's thoughts. Yes, sir. Not that you hear my principles, that you hear God's principles. This book is what it's all about. And there ought to always be an open Bible on this pulpit when somebody's preaching. There ought to always be the breaking down of the Scriptures. That's why we've taken some time this morning to focus on verse 15, verse 16, in a minute, verse 17. You know why? Because I want to see that when you leave here, you heard the words of God. You got the Bible preached to you this morning. Amen? So the old book is a book that is profitable. Now do something profitable this week. Read the Bible. Read the Bible. 7 o'clock tonight, folks. Hey, we got church at 7 o'clock tonight. Come on back at 7 o'clock tonight. Brother Jerry, I've got something important to do. We've got something important going on here too. It's called preaching of the Word of God. Tomorrow morning, get up. Set your alarm a little bit early. Open the Bible. Brother Jerry, I'm awful busy in the morning. Well, you know what? Do something profitable. Read the Bible. The old book is a profitable book. Let me give you number five in our last point. Not only is the old book a book for our children, the old book is a book about salvation through Jesus Christ. It's a God-breathed, inspired book. It's a book that is profitable. But the old book is a book that is transforming. Transforming. Now notice this. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Let me break this down for you. When we preach the Bible, when we share the Scriptures with you, it's profitable for doctrine. That means teaching. You ought to know what the Bible teaches. For reproof. Folks, look up here and listen to me. When you come and sit on a regular basis underneath the preaching of God's Word, you know what? The words of God are going to at times reprove you. When I read my Bible in the morning, do you know from time to time what I read is going to reprove me? Do you know that it's going to correct you from time to time? Listen, folks, let me help you out here. I sit under Bible preaching. I listen to a lot of Bible preaching myself. And there's times that that preacher uses the Bible and gets the hoe out and gets in my tater patch. Baptist people call it getting your toes stepped on. Can I tell you this? You ought to go out the door and shake the preacher's hand and say, thank you very much. There's folks come to church all the time. I've had them come in and out of here. I can't tell you, in the last couple months, several of them come for a little while, left. They sit there until they hear something that corrects them or reproves them. Then they get mad and quit coming. Well, folks, let me tell you something. You're going to have to start going to a church that doesn't preach this book to keep from getting reproved and corrected, because that's why this book was written. To help us to find out where we are falling short, and so that we can correct that. To help point out the things that maybe we need a little reproof on, a little correction on. That's not a bad thing, that's a good thing. And somebody that has an honest heart and sincerely wants to be all they can be for the Lord Jesus welcomes that. God, please, from your word today, reprove me if I need reproof. Correct me if I needed correction. Because God, I want to be all I can be for you. And I know you haven't arrived and I haven't either. I sat across from a young couple this week and I looked at them. And they visited here several times. I finally told them, folks, listen to me. I want you at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. But they began to tell me the reasons they quit coming, and because they didn't agree. I said, listen to me. Are you going to church to be discipled? Or have you arrived and you are a state of perfection and now you're looking for a church that matches you because you're perfect? I said, the honest truth is, you will not like Blessed Hope Baptist Church if you walk in saying, that pulpit and that book needs to adjust to the way that I live. You will like Blessed Hope Baptist Church if you walk in and say, my life falls short of the glory of God. There's many things that I'm not where I ought to be in, and I'm going to try to listen to that book and I'm going to adjust my life up to that book. I've been glad, I've been thankful for all my Christian years to always attend a church where the preacher was not afraid to say, thus saith the Lord. Even if it hurt, even if it got on my toes, even if it got my tater patch a little bit. Oh, I have the old flesh like you do, and I've got the old sinful pride like y'all do, and sometimes I'd bristle a little bit. But then the Holy Spirit would begin to work on my heart during the week and say, you know, that preacher, what he said was right. And listen, don't get mad at him for saying it. Thank God for him. Thank God there's still somebody that'll just open the book and say, thus saith the Lord, and let the chips fall where they may. That's the kind of church that y'all have sought out and y'all attend on purpose. You know what? Because you don't want to go down to some church where somebody's going to preach a lie. You don't want to go to some church where somebody's going to water down what the Bible says. Preacher, give it to me. Tell it to me straight. My kids need to hear it. My wife needs to hear it. My marriage needs it. Our family needs it. Tell us the way it is. And that's the kind of church I've always been a part of. And that's the kind of church I always want to be a part of. Amen. So don't be upset, because this book is not there to hurt you. It's there to transform you. Notice verse 17, that the man of God, and it's interesting there. I don't think it's talking about preachers. I think it's talking about every individual. Every man in this room ought to long to be a man of God. The Bible will turn you into a man of God. Ladies, the Bible will turn you into a woman of God. Teenager, the Bible will turn you into a teenager of God. Children, the Bible will turn you into a child of God. I mean, it ought to transform you and make you godly, you see, that the man of God may be perfect. By the way, that doesn't mean sinless. That word does not mean without sin. We're always going to fight this old man. We're always going to fight this black dog that lives inside of us, the old flesh. The word perfect there means mature or complete. This book will mature you. It'll transform you. It'll grow you up in Jesus Christ. Thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And this Bible will help you and ready you and make you ready and able to be able to go out with a God view of life. Looking for broken hearts that you can help. Looking for needs that you can fill. Looking for people that you can help. This book will turn you from having all of your concern and vision inward to turning that outward and realize there's a whole world out here that's brokenhearted. There's families all over this community that's searching for the right script, or the right way. There's marriages on the brink of divorce. There's kids that are on the brink of disaster. And somebody's got to intervene in their life and care about them. And one of the things the Bible will do, it'll transform you. So you're not an inward looking at all of your problems, worried about you. But you begin to look around with the eyes of Jesus Christ and say, what can I do for somebody today? How can I help somebody today? Who can I encourage today? Who can I lift up today? And let me say this. When that happens in your life, you're a new person in Jesus Christ. Because all of a sudden, you're a happy person. Selfish people are miserable people. People that live for others are the happiest people in the world. You say, Brother Jerry, I got problems. I know, we all got them. But the best way to forget about your problems is to look around and help somebody else with their problem. You can get so busy doing that pretty soon, you don't even realize you got a problem anymore. And so the Bible will help you. And let me summarize by saying this. Get the right Bible. Trust this preacher. Go get a King James Bible. Brother Jerry, I can't understand the King James Bible. Then read it slower. Let me just see if you can understand, okay? Verse 16, all Scripture, that means all Scripture, is given, that means is given, by inspiration of God. Now, that may be a tough word. You might do a little research, but that means God breathed. And is profitable. You know what that means? It's profitable. For doctrine, you know what that means? For doctrine. For reproof, you know what that means? For reproof. For correction, you know what that means? For correction. For instruction in righteousness. You know what that means? Instruction in righteousness. Don't give me you can't understand it. This book right here, this book is written on an 8th grade reading level. God made it a simple book. He made it so that children can pick it up and understand it. If you take your time and you say, God, teach me your book. And you say, Brother Jerry, does that mean I'm going to understand everything? No. There's going to be parts that you don't understand, but there's going to be parts that you do understand. And listen, folks, somebody said, well, it's the same. They just changed it to make it easier to understand. Listen, if you change something, it's not the same. You just said it out loud. They changed it to make it easier to understand. It's the same. They just changed it. No, you just contradicted yourself. Things that have been changed are not the same. Things that have been changed are not the same. And there's a challenge. There's a warning in the book of Revelation to people that would take out or add to the words of God that their name would be taken out of the book of life. And by the way, you show me these mistranslations and I can take you through the average mistranslation. That's what I call mistranslation. You realize that the NIV Bible, over 16,000 words have been removed from the NIV Bible. Over 16,000 words. And by the way, those were God-breathed words. God-blessed words. God-preserved words. But some man decided it was easier to understand it without that word. No. Listen, folks. What we need to do is not change the Bible, but let it change us. Get you a King James Bible. Read it. Every day, read it. Listen to it. Brother Jerry, I'm not real good at reading. Let me just encourage you. If you go to the Bible bookstore, you invest $10, $12, $15, you can get the New Testament on cassette, or you can get the New Testament on CD. And you know what? Some of you say, well, Brother Jerry, I just really do. I have a tough time. You know, if you would just take 15 minutes a day and listen to the Bible read out loud, and then hit the pause button, and then the next day listen to them 15 minutes more, you could listen. By the way, Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So it's wonderful just to listen to the Bible read. Listen, Sit under the preaching of God's Word. Sunday school is important. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, every service you can possibly attend, try to be here. Meditate upon it. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. That's not a fairy tale. That's the truth. God says, I will bless the person who spends time reading and meditating on what I have to say in this book. Take a new look at the old book. Take a new look at the Bible. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us, Lord, spark within us a revival spirit when it comes to the Word of God. Help us to fall in love with it all over again. Lord, for those that are reading it and showing up and listening to it preached, I pray, Lord, that you would heighten, Lord, their senses as they read. Heighten their senses as they listen to the Bible. Make them more in tune with the Holy Spirit of God. For those, Lord, who have been delinquent in reading the Bible, I pray that this very day they will say, this book is going to be a part of my everyday life for the rest of my life. Help them to read it. Help them to listen to it. Help them to meditate on it. Lord, help us to get Christians back in church. Help us to get our children back in church. Help us to get grandchildren back in church. God, help us to understand the greatest thing we can do for the next generation is get them at a young age underneath the preaching of the Word of God. Bless this invitation, Lord. If there be anyone here without Jesus as their Savior, I pray that they'd be saved today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.